sounds good.
All right, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog from Phoenix, Arizona, with you, with my guest, Jim Kerwin. And, Jim, let me ask you, what do you think in this scenario where, you know, we attack, they retaliate, we decided that we're going to one-up them and use a nuclear weapon, what do you think the possibility is that China and Russia are going to say, you know what, we've had enough of you people, and nuke us back?
China.
What's that?
I heard a rumor that China basically told us after they destroyed one of their own weather satellites with a missile from the Earth that if we did that, if we attacked Iran, they would basically make our ability to maneuver in the Gulf meaningless because they planned everything depends on GPS. And China has the capacity to knock that out of the sky. And I don't know if that's true. I mean, I don't know if they are actually planning to do that or not. But it certainly sweetened the pie and tried to make a difference in terms of they should think about it deeply before they did this. But whether they do that or not, the point is that Russia and China are both on the record as saying, do not do this. And Russia has practically taken itself back into the Cold War over this, because they perceive that it's not going to stop with Iran. The United States apparently wants to go right back and take the rest of that oil that they're interested in the stands. We just won't stop, and that's the problem. Somebody will stop us eventually, because the world can't exist that way. Everybody that's tried to steal the entire planet, the known world at the time, has always failed. And there isn't any reason to believe that we won't be the next one to do that very same thing.
Well, and it's interesting, Jim, you'd sent me an email with, there's about four articles. A couple of them I posted on my website, but there's also an article that the Russians have pulled, as I believe it was of last Friday, they pulled their nuclear engineers out of Iran. They left. They packed
That's
their bags
right.
and left. So it looks to me, you know, with that, it looks to me like the Russians are saying, you know what, this administration, this neocon administration may just be stupid enough to do it.
That's right.
And we're preparing for it. And the concerns, you know, and all of these people, what's amazing, and let's go back to this Twilight Zone. What's amazing here, and this is part of the reason why we're in this Twilight Zone and we can't wake up, Jim, is all these American people are running around here, gassing up their SUVs and running their kids to school, and they don't have time to listen to us. They think that, you know, freedom has been free forever. They think that they don't have to fight for freedom because their parents or grandparents did it for them, and they can just reap the rewards. And what they don't realize is freedom is a fleeting thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be diligent. You have to stay on top of your government all the time, because tyranny will prevail if you do not keep these people in check. And the apathy of the American people has allowed this government to get so far out of hand, they think they can just run roughshod, do whatever they want to do. They can invoke their tyranny and invoke their agenda on the rest of the world, and nobody's going to stop them. And I don't believe that. I believe that at some point in time, if indeed they follow through with this, I believe China and Russia both is going to say, all right, that's enough. Get rid of these people.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be cataclysmic for the entire world.
Right.
Now let me interject this on the subject of GPS for a moment.
Uh-huh.
As a pilot, the GPSs were implemented, I believe it was about the mid to the late 90s as far as aircraft were concerned, small aircraft, which is what I fly. And, yes, these bunker-busting bombs, that's what they use. When they target these, and they've got these smart bombs and so forth, those are all guided by GPS. They can guide it down to a matter of a couple
missiles
of feet.
And
let's
from
hold,
the aircraft
let's
to the ground.
Right. Let's hold that thought. We'll be back in three. Got to take a break. Then we got a long segment. Michael Herzog with my guest Jim Kerwin. We'll be right back. Call your friends and neighbors. This is a great show, folks.
Thank you.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Phone lines are open for the last half hour here, 800-313-9443 with my guest, Jim Kerwin. Jim, expounding on the subject of the GPSs, yes, the bunker busters, all of that stuff is run by GPS, and the best that we can hope is if this administration is stupid enough to actually go forward with an attack that the China and Russia goes easy on us and just simply knocks out our GPSs, which, yes, I've heard that same rumor they're capable of doing, just leave us in the Gulf like sitting ducks and let Iran just maim us, which is exactly what they're going to do. But also, beyond that, you know, what a lot of people don't realize, Jim, is that Iran is sandwiched in between Iraq and Afghanistan, and we've got our troops sitting in there also like sitting ducks with those same missiles and also with an army that's three times the size of the Iraq army. And they're going to be really, really mad if we do that.
Not only that, I mean, one of the things about that situation is if Americans were to find themselves, quote-unquote, surrounded the way that Iran finds itself surrounded by people that have nothing but animosity. I mean, not people, but an administration that has nothing but animosity for them. Of course you're going to be very determined to reject or to resist that attack. It's just human nature. And I don't know what else we can do. I summed up these two articles in a closer that's not very long, which says, too many people here continue to say, we don't have time to read or to pay attention to the politics. We don't have the time to spend on internet between jobs, kids, and everything else. Which is like saying, how dare you bomb my neighborhood today? I've got to get the kids to the tennis lessons and then pick up something for dinner. Or maybe when the stormtroopers kick in your door, you might decide that since they didn't even knock, you should just ignore them. There is a huge world out there that all of us have major responsibilities for because of all that has been done in our names. In that world, there is about to be a devaluation of your money, your future, and your life. If you refuse to pay attention to that world, then know that your world has had time bombs carefully planted in every facet of everything you care about. When these bombs go off, you will have nothing at all to say about your own demise or your death. If your petty considerations trump that, then you shall deserve everything you get. And all of this will happen because you refuse to pay attention to what is happening all around you now. Trying to get him interested.
No, and that's great. It's very well put, and it reminds me of the old saying, the people get the government that they deserve.
Yes.
And the reason that we've got this government is because of the apathy of the American people, that they don't want to take the time. You know, and I look around here and I watch this, and I have to admit, Jim, I'm guilty of this. A few years back, I used to be one of those people that would sit on the couch, or I'd turn on the radio and I'd listen to Rush Limbaugh, or I'd watch Russert, or I'd watch Hannity, or I'd watch one of these guys, and if I liked them, then I would just simply parrot whatever they told me, because I didn't take time to peel back the onion and look. And that's the problem, that is we've got too apathetic, we've gotten too lazy, we've got too off involved, and the powers that be have done this by design. They've created a myriad of distractions. They've got football, they've got baseball, they've got Dancing with the Stars,
they've got more award shows than you can count.
Sure, they're conditioning us to torture with Jack Bauer. They are conditioning us by putting on. I happen to be in front of a TV last night, and I was watching this. There's a new show coming on that's a spinoff of a cop show, and I can't remember what the name of it is. But these are coming out more and more and more frequently, and they're conditioning us to approve of the atrocities that are being perpetrated upon us on a daily basis. And I've reported on my show many times. These people getting tasered. I had a guy on my show last week that got beat up. He's a city council member. He got beat up by a cop going out, and then they arrest him for battery. I mean, this is just – this is atrocious. And yet the American people don't even pay any attention to it. But by golly, you let a referee in a football game throw down a flag when a guy – he thought he was going to get a first down, and he'll be talking about that for a week or two. I had a caller that called in yesterday, said he notices that all the time. I mean, this just – our whole world has been turned upside down, which brings me right back to your article about the Twilight Zone. How do we get out of this? You know, at the end – there's got to be a doorway that we can walk through, Jim.
Unfortunately, we have to carve it. They have used, as I said in the article, they have created the walls that are our nightmare for us. And if we want out, there's no door. If we want out, we're going to have to cut a hole in the wall. It's, you know, freedom is not free, and the only way this is going to get stopped is with action. So it can't be somebody else doing the dirty work. We can't sit back and wait for the next election. We can't simply let the system work, because the system is working against us. It's way too slow for ordinary things. And for this, it's impossibly slow. There isn't any way that the American public can expect other people to do it. It's up to us. The framers, when they created the Constitution, figured we'd have a revolution about every 35 years. They really didn't expect that thing to last, because they understood that people are kind of, you know, things change, and they expected that, but they also expected they would stay involved enough to care. The trouble is, early on even, we didn't stay involved, and as a result, we have been tinkering with the same thing for about 230 years, and in the process, we've gotten lazy. We didn't earn this freedom that we have. We let other people's deaths pay for that. Years ago. And now we have decided that it is our right as a nation to dominate the planet. It is our right to do these things. And we're not supposed to question, what does your son do in the military? Oh, he's a machine gunner, or he's a sniper, or he's a whatever. And we don't think about what he does or she. We simply accept that they're defending the United States. They completely forget that in this particular case in Iraq, that country did nothing to us. Those people are defending themselves against us. And Everybody
loses. Are you saying to me, Jim, that all of these Al-Qaeda insurgents aren't really there? These Al-Qaeda, you know, these are the guys that are stirring it up here.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, I've said this many times before. If you know, reverse the situation, if it was our country, I mean, the insurgents are the Iraqi people, for crying out loud. They don't want us there. Get the hint. And look at, you know, look at what's happening with Blackwater.
Yes.
Blackwater's got these guys over there. You know, I've seen videos of them shooting down Iraqi, innocent Iraqi civilians on the street. And al-Maliki comes up and he says, we revoke their license. I want them out of there. And what does the Pentagon do? They renew their contract. You know,
yeah.
Like Maliki's got any power whatsoever. And this is the garbage that they spew forth on the mainstream media. You know, when they stand up, we'll stand down. And the Iraqi government has democratic votes, blah, blah, blah. It's all BS.
Didn't you love the way they blamed Iraq for their own lack of having a government and having independence? It's now their problem after we've destroyed their water, their sewer, their electricity, their schools, that you can't go buy groceries without getting killed. I mean, but they have somehow or other, they have to do what all of the American troops and the contractors could not bring about, which is reconstruct Iraq and somehow or other magically turn it into a democracy, which took us probably 100 years to perfect. But, hey, they've got to do it in 10 minutes. And if they don't do it, we'll leave. Maliki should get up on a podium and say, we got it. Leave. Because
really?
That's exactly what we keep saying. Now, if we don't do this, we're going to pull out. And he should simply say, go, now.
Don't let the door get you in the tail. I'll tell you, Jim, if we don't, you know, and the Democrats are just as complicit. You know, they're both goose-stepping to the same drum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't leave, it's, you know, in Vietnam, when we pulled out of there, we were pulling guys off the tops of buildings. If we don't get out of there and we elect to make this ridiculous decision of attacking Iran, I fear, one of my big fears, other than being nuked, is mm-hmm. that the large majority, if not all of those guys over there, are going to die.
Here's a little thought for you, Michael. This country has over 1,000 bases scattered around among 190 nations. Of the 190, 130 of them have U.S. bases. That's separate from the war machine we have going in Iraq and Afghanistan and potentially Iran. Those three wars are costing us $1 trillion a year now. Okay? How in the hell are we paying for all that other military stuff on 1,000 bases scattered through 130 countries? That's amazing. And we have to have something in our arsenal besides military force, and we don't have any money left for education, for schools, for health, for people, for anything. The infrastructure, we spend not a centavo. And, you know, he talks about defending the American people. Well, I'm sorry, part of the unglorious side of that is making sure that the laws that were passed get enforced here. None of that's getting addressed for the last 6 years. Congress didn't do its job for the last 6 years. There was no oversight. Where are we as a nation? We're bankrupt in every way.
Well, they just raised the debt limit to what is right at $10 trillion.
Mm.
I mean, there's not one nickel of any tax-paying dollar from income tax that goes to pay anything other than interest on the national debt. And, of course, the Federal Reserve, which is no more federal than Federal Express, keeps printing out the money just as fast as we ask for it because they don't care. They fund both sides of a war anyway. They could care less. This is all about world domination. And, of course, isn't it coincidental that
the money changers have been in that business since before the First World War, and they found it to be really, really marvelous for them. And it's, of course, hell for the rest of us.
Well, what happens, let me ask you this, what happens when you have all of the wealth, you have all of the real estate, you have all of the of a country's infrastructure, or the world's for that matter, you have all of the gold, all of the silver, but you have nothing more than a parking lot, and there's nobody in it? What good does it do you?
That was my point all along, Michael, i.e. they never thought this through. Where are you going to spend it? You know, the United States... The one purpose we always seemed to serve before now was to provide a haven where the dictators could come and drive their Rolls Royce down the street without being shot. And that's what we did. And now, if these guys get away with what they're trying to do and bring the United States down, devalue our money, destroy our system, blah, 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 where are they going to live? If they poison all the water and they poison the air and they destroy...
Let me stop you. We've got to go to a break. We'll be back in three. Hold that thought. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Jim Kerwin.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
All right, we're back. Final segment with Jim Kerwin, my guest. And isn't it ironic, Jim, we'll come full circle here. Isn't it ironic that, yes, there's a distinct possibility that this could be a total cataclysm and wipe us out nuclear? And going back to the Twilight Zone, remember the one where Burgess Meredith, they literally, there was a nuclear holocaust, and he had all the time in the world because he was the only guy left on Earth, and he had all the books in the world to read, which is all he wanted to do, and then he dropped his glasses and broke them, and he couldn't do it. He could no longer read any of the books, and that's all he wanted to do, and he had no one to bother him. That's what reminds me what happened. These people, you know, they want to control everybody, but what they're missing here, Jim, is that there won't be anybody to control because everybody will wipe themselves out.
All right. That's the, you know, when you do investigative journalism, the key for the entire thing is follow the money. And when you start doing that with this particular thing, it leads to this completely impossible equation. They have decided to seize it all, any kind of wealth, any kind of anything they wanted, whatever it is, but they haven't planned for what's going to be left for them to, how can they enjoy it? I mean, the money itself is worthless once the population's gone, and if the earth and the air and the water are all polluted or poisoned or whatever, how are you going to live? You know, there isn't, unless they're planning to go to another planet, I don't understand where this is going to actually come to fruition, because it's one thing to plan constant war against the whole world, and to actually build for it, which we have been doing with these 1,000 bases, but to what end? Where is that going to leave us? And you know, they don't really care about us. They just assume we're all useless eaters. We need to be exterminated. But beside us, assuming they could find some way to survive, what the hell would they? What would the world look like? Anyway, it's just one of those oxymoron things. It's like military intelligence.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Well, listen, I want you to give out your website for the listening audience, Jim, if you would. So they can go in there, because I've read a few of your articles, and they're exquisite articles, and I would recommend everybody go in and have a read with Jim Kerwin. Go ahead, Jim.
The site link is a little bit long, but if you Google Jim Kerwin, K-I-R-W-A-N, it'll come up on Google. It's in one of the top three things there, and
okay.
It will take you to that site, and then enjoy.
And by the way, folks, at my website, www.theamericanawakening.org, all you have to do is go in there and click on guests, look up Jim Kerwin, the date will be there, and I've got that website posted right under Jim. You can go into my website and link to him anytime you want. Jim, I want to thank you so much for sharing time with us today, and I mean this emphatically when I say I'm going to bring you back up. I want to keep track of your articles. I think you're a brilliant writer, great journalist, and I'd like to have you up at least once a month, if not twice a month, or even sooner. I mean, it depends on the events that unfold, but you put this forth in a very prolific manner, okay?
Well, thank you, Michael. If whether that happens or not, I had a good time today, and I thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll see you again.
Okay.
Okay, folks. Jim Kerwin, ladies and gentlemen, brilliant journalist. I'll tell you, every once in a while, hopefully more often than not, we have a good show, but there's a lot of energy that goes forth, and every once in a while you get somebody that's on a mindset that you just click back and forth, and this was one of those days. Jim Kerwin has written some brilliant articles. He's posted on rinse.com and a number of other websites, and I tell you, folks, this is, we're to the point, and I can't emphasize this enough. I've got going to go to a break here in a few minutes, and I've got Ted Pike. Ted Pike's going to give us some updates on this hate crime legislation, this draconian legislation that Ted Kennedy is trying to slip through under the this military appropriations bill, and hopefully George Bush is going to veto it, but we never know, okay? It's kind of a flip of a coin or a crapshoot. But at any rate, we're sitting on the precipice here, folks, economically. We're sitting on the precipice here, as far as the Iran thing and the war drums beating and these people that we've got in office that are beating the drums with the evil looks on their face. And I want to mention once again, I've got a couple of they're not on my website. I've got – yes, they are. You just can't click on them. If you go into my website at www.theamericanawakening.org, click on interesting links and go down on the right-hand side, you'll find a couple of movies there that it'll tell you to Google them. One of them is called Empire of the City, and the other one is Zeitgeist, Part 2 and 3. Either one of those will tell you who these people are, where they came from, what their background is, what their agenda is, how we got into the place we are, and in Empire of the City, it's going to give you solutions to this problem. Because I'm telling you, the biggest solution, the first thing that we have to do, and I keep barking on this all the time, folks, is we have to wake people up. We have to get them educated, because they cannot do this stuff to us unless we let them. And if we're awake, they won't let them. I got 1 minute left before the break. Malcolm in Illinois, go ahead, sir. You're with me.
Hey,
yeah,
how you doing? Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment that the dummy down of America. Technology is a tool of good, but technology has been really used to disconnect most of the population from reality. And that is the battle that you're dealing with, Michael. I'm dealing with it, too, when you say trying to wake people up. They're into their iPods. They're into their toys. And it has really dumbed down the conscience of the people here in this country. My goodness, it really has dumbed down. And for an example, just like 9/11 happened, when that happened, it was like a bomb that shattered the illusion. Did you notice how the entertainers, celebrities, the Oprah Winfreys, they were stunned. They didn't make a comment for days.
Mm-hmm. Listen, Malcolm, it's a good point. I got to run, man. I'm sorry to cut you off. Got to go to a break. When I come back up, we're switching subjects, switching gears. We're going to Ted Pike. So we'll be back in three. Thank you for the call, Malcolm. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with us. We got more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. As you know, folks, as I mentioned to you, the hate crimes legislation was passed by the Senate last week. And it is going, from what I understand, it's going into committee, and then it's going to be put on George Bush's desk to be either approved or vetoed. And I've got the Paul Revere of this subject on the line with me right now, Ted Pike. Ted, are you with me?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me, Michael.
Oh, you're welcome, sir. Anytime. Ted, give us a quick overview and an update on what's going on here.
Yes. Well, as most of our listeners already know, the hate bill did pass the House of Representatives back in May, and last Thursday, tragically, it did pass the Senate also by only one vote. That was 60-39. And the problem is that it didn't pass on a level playing field. There were great forces at work, tragically, among the religious and political right, which helped make this bill passed by the United States Congress. And I am making the assertion now from compelling evidence that leaders of the religious right, along with leaders of the Republican contingent in the Senate, actually wanted this hate bill to pass. In contradiction to the wishes of their followers, they seem to have had a brilliant idea of letting the hate bill pass and then preparing a stage upon which George Bush could come forward riding on his white horse and veto the hate bill, and therefore elevate the reputation, the very tarnished reputation, not only of George Bush, but of the Republican Party, as the Republicans are needing to regather many Republicans and conservatives who've fallen away in their support of the of George Bush. And so here's my evidence. I'll just lay it out. The arms bill, which is the the military appropriations bill necessary to supply our troops all around the world, and to which Senator Kennedy wanted to attach the hate bill, was introduced into the Senate on September 11th after they came back from the summer vacation. Then on the 14th, Kennedy sprung to his feet and tried to actually attach his hate bill to the arms bill without any debate, calling for a unanimous consent resolution, and that was rebuffed by Senator McCain, of all people. But the unfortunately, there was very little alert alerts coming out on the Internet or email from the religious right about these ominous developments of the of Kennedy and the arms bill now being back, ready practically any minute to put the hate bill back on. But finally, on the 19th and 20th, that was on a Wednesday and Thursday, Focus on the Family, Traditional Values Coalition, and Family Research Council and Concerned Women for America did come out with an alert, a national alert. This is about 10 days ago. And unfortunately, however, during the last part of September, say earlier in the September, James Dobson had been kind of leading the right-wing troops and those who were opposing the hate bill by telling them that, no, we should not have the American people defeat the hate bill by massive resistance of the hate bill. He was actually saying that ENDA, or the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is coming up in the House soon, was actually a worse species of hate crimes bill. And he was telling people that he believed so confidently in President Bush as an illustrious Christian conservative, born-again president, that there was no doubt in his mind that the president would come in and veto the hate bill. What this seems to have done was completely dry up, almost completely dry up, resistance and calling into the Senate in those crucial days, 8 or 10 days ago. And we did polls, in fact, even in the last week, and found that some senators' offices were on Tuesday, just last Tuesday, four senators' offices had not received a single call all day long against the hate bill, averaging between 5 calls and maybe at maximum 50 calls a day. Well, these new right leaders could have brought 3 million plus calls in if they had really wanted to. And furthermore, these leaders were not giving people any compelling reason why they should protest the hate bill instead of the president. They were saying, this is bad legislation, call in, but why bother to call if they've already been convinced by these leaders that George is going to do it and save freedom? So there was a tremendous sabotaging of the momentum and power of this mushrooming movement against the hate bill. And then following that weekend, there was a full 5 days in which there was no alerts coming out from the religious right. Finally, last week, last Tuesday, that's 2 days before the hate bill was passed, Senator Kennedy on Tuesday morning again sprung to his feet and demanded that the hate bill be voted on immediately. Now, this should have sent shockwaves into the religious right, and yet there was no response from the religious right. Let me just read to you the organizations who went silent literally for the next 2 days. Focus on the Family, the biggest, Family Research Council, an adjunct of Focus on the Family, Concerned Women for America, American Family Association, Faith to Action, Christian Values Coalition, and also, although not a religious organization, WorldNet Daily was silent. on this issue. And so from Tuesday morning, literally until just the very eve or the afternoon before the hate bill was passed, there was total silence from the religious right. Now, these people have numerous employees who do nothing, who are paid to watch Congress like a hawk in all details. There's not the slightest possibility that these organizations did not know exactly what was going on. They're all on my email list. I know they have told me they read my emails. A number of them have. And yet they did not hearken to my impassioned pleas to do something, send out an alert, and so on. And so this went on until a late Wednesday afternoon. Again, that's just before the hate bill passed, when finally, just within hours of the time that the senatorial offices would be closing for the afternoon, suddenly Focus on the Family, Family Research Council and Traditional Values Coalition, they all sprung into action with a great call to arms to bring in millions of calls. But by that time, the senatorial offices were practically closed. And then the following morning, the senators were on the floor of the Senate by 10 a.m. Eastern Time, giving them no opportunity to even receive any alerts or, I mean, calls that might have come in from these constituents. Now, there's one half of this farce, this tragedy. The other half is that the senators of the United States, the Republican senators, and there are dozens of them who were opposed to the hate bill, were very publicly opposed to the hate bill, people like Brownback and Kyle and others, and yet for 2 days, we're talking about from Tuesday morning to Wednesday evening, for one complete day there, actually it was 2 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Wednesday evening, finally, Senator Orrin Hatch broke the silence and did come out with a moderate 5 or 6 minute criticism of the hate bill. But for 2 days, the senators of the religious right who had opposed the hate bill were absolutely silent. This was a two-day period in which all senators were invited to come forward and speak their minds on any issue they wanted to. Certainly the hate bill proponents like Kennedy and Smith of Oregon and also Senate Majority Leader Reid, they came to the pulpit, podium, and they gave impassioned defenses of the hate bill and so on, but the religious right was absolutely silent. So what we had on both sides, in the political realm, in the religious conservative realm, was evidently a conspiracy of unnatural silence during these crucial days before the hate bill passed. Now, finally, on Thursday morning, there was an hour or so of debate. I guess it may have been a couple hours, and four Republicans did come forward and talked a couple minutes each. Orrin Hatch gave excellent arguments against the hate bill on several speeches, but it was too little, too late, and the Senate of the United States voted, as I say, 60-39. Only one vote would have destroyed the hate bill in the Congress of the United States. And if we hadn't had such a trickle of calls coming in, if we'd had thousands or millions of them coming in, I'm very sure that we could have defeated the hate bill, because no less than five senators did come over from supporting the hate bill to actually opposing and voting against it.
Well, now, Ted, let me ask you. Now, we know that this bill was put on President Bush's desk, I believe it was back in May, and he vetoed it. And when he did that...
He hasn't vetoed anything yet. The House passed the bill, but he sent message while it was debating in the House in May that he would veto it, but he hasn't vetoed anything yet.
Okay, now I was under the impression that it was put on his desk back in May and it was vetoed, and there was a jump in his polls a little bit, because I remember, you know, everybody was excited. I was excited by the virtue of the fact. Was it that he just said he wasn't going to sign it? Is that what it was?
Well, no president vetoes a bill until it's been approved by both houses of Congress, you see.
Okay.
Now, the sequence now is that having passed both houses of Congress, this bill has to go to conference between the House and the Senate. And that's to iron out differences in the two versions of the hate bill. The Senate, the Senate version is actually shorter than the House version, but it's got all the same language. And so here's more delay coming in you. And here's another complication, Michael, and that is that this big arms bill is 2 months overdue in getting passed. And Bush is getting under extreme pressure to pass that arms bill so that he can provide our troops worldwide, especially in Iraq, with the arms and the munitions, everything they need to keep up the war in Iraq. And this whole grand scheme, I believe, that was concocted among these members of the new right, they seem to have the ironclad assurance, and certainly that was the public stand of the president, that he would veto the hate bill. However, if it goes too long, we're going into a couple of weeks in conference, maybe another week or so of wrangling on the floor of the Senate about how to take the hate bill off and things like that. We could be up to 3 months now overdue on the arms bill, and that gives President Bush a very good excuse for saying, I would have liked to have vetoed the hate bill, but we've got national security issues here. We've got a war we've got to win in the Middle East and so on. Reluctantly, I have to allow the hate bill to remain attached to the arms bill because I don't have any line item veto on this legislation. Now, if that happens, we are now a hate crimes bureaucracy, exactly like Canada, moving toward this Orwellian police state, taking away talk radio, taking away freedom in the pulpit, taking away so many of our liberties.
So, in your mind, this may have very well been a covert plan by the religious right sandbag, if you will. And then, you know, George Bush said he'd veto the bill. Of course, we know the pressure's being put on him. If he did veto the bill, it would, you know, sort of give him a little bit of jump in his polls. Do you think that maybe would be to bolster public support, you know, address for this impending war with Iran, maybe swing a little bit more of public support for the possibility of us attacking Iran?
I don't know about that, but you see, George Bush was elected by the religious right and Republicans and conservatives, Heartland America. He was voted in twice as a born-again Christian president who would be guarding abortion, preventing abortion and guarding our freedoms and so on. Well, his reputation for guarding freedom has become very tarnished in the war on terrorism by taking away our freedom through Patriot Act, Homeland Security, and so on, you see. And what a wonderful way for him to regain the luster of his reputation and his legacy by now coming forth, as I say, on a white horse and impaling this evil hate crimes legislation and emerging as the savior of freedom. That's the kind of big-time prestige and a recognition that he needs in order to propel the Republicans forward into some kind of a victory a year from now, you see. So this seemed like a brilliant scheme. They had the assurance of the president, and they can just sacrifice the hate bill and then kill it. But the problem is, Michael, that by passing the hate bill with the blessing of both houses of Congress, that gives the hate bill tremendous reputation that it's never had before. It's suffered under the stigma of being very hard to pass legislation, defeated 5 times since 1998. And now it's going into the next Congress only 14 months from now with this prestige that it's never had and sailing forward to passage under a probably liberal administration.
Well, Ted, what can we do at this point besides let our fingers do the walking and just literally light up their phone lines?
This is not in the hands of the senators or the House of Representatives anymore. Reluctantly, I have to tell people the only possible way they can affect the government now is just literally by calling the president. Now, that's ridiculous, because why should we call him and tell him to keep his vows when he promised twice that he would veto the hate bill? But I will give out the president's phone number. It's 202-456-1111. Again, that toll-free number to the President of the United States, 202-456-1111. I think we really do have to call that number and let the White House know that we are watching them very carefully. regardless of military appropriations and necessities, we're going to have to insist that that hate bill is taken off there. Now, if he does actually remain true to his words despite this tremendous pressure and vetoes the hate bill is pretty much done for in the Congress for another year. That means that we have another year of freedom, another year to build up public education and pressure, activism to make sure that the hate bill doesn't go through about 14, 15 months from now.
Well, now, percentage-wise, what is the possibility here? Because of the pressure being instilled upon Bush, you know, having it be attached to a military appropriations bill, what are the odds there are, or let me rephrase that. If he vetoes the bill, then obviously they would have to put a new military appropriations bill through for him to sign to get the funding that we need to continue this, you know, unjust war, if you will. And how long does something like that take? I mean,
well,
how long a delay?
Yeah, that's the kind of problematical question that we're facing is, you know, the Democrats are anti-war. They're also for the hate bill. And that raises the possibility that they could actually slow down these processes of conference and to taking off the hate bill and so on, making it even harder for the president to veto.
Okay, we've got to take a break. We'll be back in three. My guest, Ted Pike, giving us an update on the hate crimes legislation. Stick with us for the final segment. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening from Phoenix, Arizona.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
Final segment of the American Awakening. We've got time for one caller, and he's got about a minute, George, with my guest Ted Pike. George from Florida, you're on with Michael. You got 1 minute. Go ahead, George.
Yes, my concern with this hate bill, I think George Bush is putting on his show, because I know Amnesty is his baby, and, you know, what a way to use this hate crimes bill for groups like La Raza, Metra, LULAC, and all of that, to use his hate crime bill to shut down websites like the American Patrol, Be Dare, you know, all these anti-illegal immigration sites.
Ted, you want to comment?
Well, you know, in Bush's first term, he did promise that he would pass a federal hate bill, a quote-unquote modified hate bill. And that's what we're worried about here, is whether he will actually begin to parley with the Democrats and come up with some kind of compromise legislation, which probably will have all the teeth in it that the original did. And so, yes, there are undoubtedly forces behind Bush. He has a lot of Jewish neocon advisors around him, Zionists and so on, who would very much like to see the hate bill passed, would very much like to see the movement against it destroyed.
Okay, George, thanks for the thoughts. Just about out of time. Ted, any closing thoughts you want to give or leave us
yes.
with? Go ahead.
Yes, Michael. People should come to my website, which is www.truthtellers.org. And at truthtellers.org, we have a number of very powerful and revealing articles there. Print those out. Send them out on your e-list or put them on your internet and whatever. Let's get the word out, because I'm afraid these evangelical leaders, even now, are moving on to new subjects and sweeping this under the rug. And we've got to get this truth out. We've got to bring them to task and have them come clean about this, because if we have this kind of double dealing in our leadership, in our Christian leadership in the country, what kind of testimony is that? And what kind of power are we going to have 16 months from now, when we desperately need integrity and leadership fighting the hate bill the next time around?
Good points, Ted. Well, Ted, thank you so much for coming on today. Folks, this is a matter of urgent importance. They've already lambasted the majority of our Bill of Rights, and this is going to take away free speech. I can't emphasize enough, we've got to take this down. Ted, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on today. And,
thank you, Michael.
You're welcome anytime, Ted. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Ted Pike, folks. Well, the hate crimes legislation has passed. We can keep our fingers crossed and just hope that George is true to his word at least once and vetoes the bill. Dangerous but interesting times in which we live, folks. They're coming at us from all angles. And I don't know. Am I alone here? Do I feel like I'm in a box and there's all four sides and they're coming at me from all corners? Boy, I'll tell you, I don't know. End of another day. Let me remind you to go into my website, www.theamericanawakening.org. I've posted a couple of very interesting articles up there today, some more video clips. And don't forget, folks, tomorrow, John Hankey will be on. And as all of you listening know, John sounds like he's kind of sympathetic towards the Clintons. Tomorrow's going to be the Clinton debate. It should be interesting, because I've put together, I've put together quite an extensive amount of material that I'm going to pose some significant questions to Mr. Hankey, and let's just see how he responds. And then don't forget, Thursday we've got John Onesti and we've got Mark Weber coming up. Mark Weber's going to talk to us about the Holocaust. This guy is the editor for the International Historical Institute. Should be interesting. End of another day. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. Stick around. We've got Bob Chapman. Today's Tuesday. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye. It's true.